Very good. Appreciate that song. I've had that in my head. Not that you all care, but I've had that in my head now for a couple of days for the Meredith Place Ministry. Enjoy singing that with them. So good to sing it with you all. Likewise, I can tell. Anyways, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, it is good to be in your house tonight. I pray that you would bless this time in your word. I pray that you would use it, Lord, to help us to just consider what needs to be considered in our own lives from time to time. God, that this would be a help to us. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I don't think that most of y'all are worried about what I'm about to say, but in this series, I have wondered whether or not I should spend time reviewing the message from last week whenever it has no bearing on the message at hand. And I know one of the fears is if I don't review, it's going to cut about 3 to 5 minutes out of the sermon, and then you'll get out of the service about 3 to 5 minutes earlier, and you're going to be upset. So I think I'm going to go ahead and forego the review and just let y'all be upset this evening and give y'all a couple of extra moments to do whatever it is you want to do tonight. But you're welcome. Y'all are tough this evening. You're not going to smile much, but that's okay. I do want to begin tonight by talking about something that I think I've mentioned in the past, and I know that whether or not we've talked about this, we all understand this to be true, and that is some things just come natural for every one of us. There are just some things that our minds grasp. They are concepts that we easily understand, and we just don't struggle with whatever those areas may be. And at the same time, there are certain concepts and there are certain ideas out there that our brain just has a hard time grasping. You would agree with that, would you not? And so I was thinking about this just to try to illustrate this. And again, I know that you know this, but to illustrate what it is I'm talking about, I was thinking of myself and something that comes fairly natural for me and fairly easy for me is math. Now, I'm not talking about the complicated stuff. I'm not talking about the intense, ridiculous stuff, but just the basic math. I'm able to do that relatively quickly. I'm able to do that relatively easily in my head. And so if I need to add, subtract, divide, multiply, that comes pretty quickly. But as I've mentioned before, something that does not come natural to me at all are almost all things mechanical. If it's mechanical, I struggle to grasp it. And so like this morning, the bus was not starting, and I saw Brother Cecil drive around there with his truck. And I, as I saw that, I really thought to myself, no need to even go out there. Because I contribute nothing to what is happening other than just standing there saying, what do you think it is? I don't understand it. I don't grasp it. I don't get it. And so I am okay with math, yet almost all things mechanical I'm not very good at. And I could be talking to someone, maybe even this evening, and they would say something to this effect. I struggle to balance my own checkbook. I have to have a calculator to do that. But yet if they had to tear down an engine and rebuild it and put it all back together, they could totally do it if called upon to do so. So again, you get this picture, you get this idea of what I'm talking about. Certain things you understand, it just comes natural, it just comes easy. Other things we struggle with. And yet, whenever we struggle, here is what I think all of us would agree to, and that would be that just because we struggle with it doesn't mean that we can't try to learn some things in those areas. It doesn't mean that we'll become a master of it. It doesn't mean that we'll grasp everything there is to grasp about it. It doesn't mean that we'll fully comprehend it and be able to explain it to others. But if we want to try to understand certain things that are difficult for us, we can if we choose to. Come on now. If we want to understand something at least a little better than what we are understanding it, we can do so. Now, as we consider that, as we hold on to that, I want us to think this evening about the disciples. This is important. This is something that we need to be aware of. I don't want us to lose sight of this. as we consider the disciples, we need to remember that they were as much human as you and I. There was nothing by way of deity that could be associated with them. They were just common, everyday men like you and I. The disciples, they had their own struggles. The disciples had their own failures. The disciples had their own strengths. They had the things that they were good at, that they excelled in. But they were just normal, everyday individuals like you and I. They just so happened to have the privilege to get to travel with Christ for a little over 3 years. So as you keep that in mind, turn to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to look at some familiar portion of Scripture tonight, and this will not really be the point of emphasis. It's a point of emphasis. Now, I just want us to see something and build upon this in the next couple of moments. But in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13, we read these words. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So the question that Christ asked there in verse number 13 is simply this: who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So his disciples began responding to the question that Christ has just presented to them. It says, and they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." So they're just giving a simple answer to the simple question that's been asked of them. So in verse number 15, he changes it up a little bit, Christ does, and he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Whom say ye that I am? So Christ is no longer concerned now about what the general public may say of him. He wants to know how they view him or what they understand him to be. And so in verse number 16, words that most of us are familiar with, it says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So if you look in verse number 17, again, relevant for tonight's message, those words coming from Peter in verse number 16, Christ said, or answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So who was Peter? Well, Peter was very much a man just like you and I, as I just said. There was nothing special about Peter. There was nothing impressive about him in and of himself. This was just Peter, the one who was prone to say things that didn't need to be said from time to time. The one who would put his foot in his mouth from time to time. So here is Peter, and he didn't quite always get it if you stick with the illustration, okay? Peter did not always really get it, and he did not always formulate his thoughts and express them in the best possible way. But in this moment, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Christ said to him that flesh and blood had not revealed that unto thee, but his Father which is in heaven. So this was an understanding that Peter acquired because of the grace of God working in his life. We following this? So that in mind, look now in verse number 21. It says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day." Now from verse number 17 to verse number 21, we don't know how much time passed, and we don't know how many times this topic of conversation came up, but here is what we know from verse number 21, is from that time forth, Jesus began showing or revealing unto the disciples what his purpose was for coming to this earth, what would be accomplished, what would have to take place, what God's perfect will was for his life in that moment. Does this make sense? God, or Christ rather, is beginning to reveal God's plan for Christ. Christ is revealing that to his disciples, saying, listen, we're going to go into Jerusalem. We will suffer, or I will suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes. I will be killed, and I will be raised again the third day. Now, you understand this as well as I do, that this would not have been information the disciples wanted to hear. This is not something that they would have enjoyed hearing. This is not something that they would have said, boy, I'm glad to hear something of this nature. But we know what Peter did there in verse number 22. It says this, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. So it says in verse number 22 that Peter began to rebuke Christ. Now we see the humanity on full display right now, do we not? Because the absolute ignorance and foolishness of that is astounding. For Peter to begin rebuking and scolding and chiding Christ, that was not something that revealed great intelligence. That was something that revealed a great measure of ignorance and, again, foolishness on his part. Peter, no matter what you think about what you've just heard, Peter, no matter what you feel about what you've just heard, Peter, you do not have the right to pull Christ aside and begin rebuking him for what he is saying to you. That's not a good position to find yourself in, Peter. So as Peter took him aside and said, Lord, this is not going to happen to you. This shall not be unto thee. We know how Christ responded in verse number 23. It says, he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Now, I know that you know this, that for the last several months as we've been going through this study and looking at the words of Christ, I think all of us would agree that if you were Peter, these are some of the last words that you would want to hear come out of his mouth directed at you. Here is Peter, and what did he say in verse number 16? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Christ say in response to that? He said, that neither flesh nor blood revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And now he is hearing the words of Christ directed at him directly, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. Who was Satan? It's not only who was, but who is Satan. He is the enemy of God. He is the adversary of God and all things godly. Satan is the one who stands in direct opposition to everything that God desires to do, everything that God desires to accomplish. Satan is the one who opposes God every step of the way. And Peter was just likened unto him or compared to him. Get thee behind me, Satan. So in that moment, understand please, Christ was not being silly, and Christ was not just throwing out a flippant remark, and Christ was not being sarcastic. I think you and I can't begin to imagine what that atmosphere must have felt like in that moment. When Christ turned and said, get thee behind me, Satan, I would suspect it put Peter in his place immediately. I think he began to see immediately that he really shouldn't have pulled Christ aside and begun rebuking him. I think that was a moment that was pretty intense. Words from Christ he did not want to hear But past that, I want us to look at these words because I know for myself I've not given them much thought over the years of my Christian life. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And then he explains why he has likened him or compared him to the enemy and the adversary. He says, "Thou art an offense unto me." You are an offense to me. That's got a cut, does it not? Peter, hearing those words, "You are an offense to me. You are a stumbling block. You are a snare. You are a trap." Peter, everything that you are trying to resist in you saying that this shall not be unto me, Peter, with you saying that, you with your attitude are trying to thwart everything that I came to this earth for. Christ did not just come to this earth to preach good messages. He did not come to this earth just to heal people. Christ did not come to this earth just to try to gain a following. The reason that Christ came to this earth was to die on the cross so that men and women could be saved one day by placing their faith in him. That is why Christ came. And whenever Peter said what he said, Christ said, "Your words are an offense because it is a stumbling stone or a stumbling block to everything I came to accomplish. Your words and your thoughts and your attitude, it is a snare for what it is I'm trying to accomplish and for what my Father's will is for me." So he said, "Thou art an offense unto me." But notice what Christ said next. Again, words that I've never really given a lot of thought to. He said, "For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. That word savor, what do we oftentimes think of whenever we think of that word? Well, if you're like me, you think of things like this. Something related to the taste. Something related to that which enhances the flavor of something. That's oftentimes what I think of is that which is associated with the taste. But as I studied and as I looked it up, here is what the word also means, because it's not just limited to that idea or to that thought. The word savor here is also dealing with a person's thought process or their level of understanding. What they're thinking and what they're understanding, how they're grasping things and how they are framing things in their mind. So he said to him, Christ did, "Peter, you are an offense to me for this reason. Because thou savorest not the things that be of God." What are you saying, Christ? He was saying this, "Peter, you're an offense because you don't understand really the things of God. You don't really have a mind as you should for the things of God. You don't really understand the things of God in the way that you should." He says, here is what you savor. You savor those things that be of men. So in a sense, what he was saying in this passage is Peter, you don't really think like God. You don't really think with the mind of God. What you think with is with the mind of man, and where your understanding comes from is from a man's point of view. So Peter, here's where the offense comes, and here's where the stumbling block comes. It's in this, is that you're not thinking spiritual, you're not thinking godly, you're not grasping this, you're not understanding this. You are thinking from a man's perspective only in this particular situation. Well, what is Peter? Well, he's just a man. He's just a man. So the argument could be something to this effect. Well, what else would you expect him to think like? Because he is a man, you would expect him, would you not, to think like a man? That's what you would think. But here's the problem. He already revealed in verse number 16 that with the help of God, he could think godly if he wanted to think godly. With the help of God, if he wanted to grasp the spiritual, he could grasp the spiritual. It may not have been what came natural. It may not have been what he was normally inclined to do. But verse number 16 lets us know, and verse number 17, it lets us know that with the help of God, Peter could think godly. He could understand the spiritual, but his problem in that interaction with Christ was this, is when Peter heard something that he didn't like related to God's plan for the life of Christ, Peter did not think from a godly perspective. He thought from a man's perspective or from a natural perspective. And whenever Peter revealed his natural human thought process, Christ said this, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me." You know what Christ was bothered by in that moment? I have revealed unto you God's perfect plan. I have begun to show you God's perfect will, and you refuse to approach this from a spiritual mindset. You are approaching it from a worldly, natural mindset, and that is an offense to me. Well, I don't know about you, but Friday, when I was putting this together, Friday when I was trying to understand all this, and it was like the Holy Spirit began to let me have some insight as to what this was talking about. I don't know if this is going to hit you like it hit me, but I thought to myself, my goodness, what an offense I must be to an almighty God sometimes. You say, well, Brother Kyle, why would you say that of yourself? Brother Kyle, why would you assume that of yourself and the position that you're in? Well, I want us to think about something tonight. I know I say this often, but I'm going to say it one more time. This is important. I know that I say that often, but I try not to waste our time. So I think this is important for us to realize, and I think this is important for us to remember, that God still has a perfect plan and God still has a perfect will that he is accomplishing in each of our lives. You and I were not just randomly placed on this earth with freedom to just do whatever we want to do and live however we want to live and accomplish whatever it is we want to accomplish. The bottom line is this, whether we like to accept it or not, God placed us on this earth to fulfill something specific. God wants to do something in our lives, period, end of discussion. That's what God wants to do in my life, and that's what God wants to do in your life. Now, you know this as well as I do. If we ever give this any consideration whatsoever, there are times that in God performing his perfect will in our lives, there are times that we don't like what he has to say. We just don't like it. God says, this is my will for your life. And God says, this is my desire for your life. Now, again, if we're not yielded to the Holy Spirit to any degree, then we'll never even be mindful of God's will. But if we have any desire whatsoever to be submissive to the will of God, there are going to be times that God says clearly through the Holy Spirit, this is my will for your life. And there are going to be times that we don't like it. And here's the beautiful part of the Christian life. We don't have to like it. We don't have to. Peter was not reprimanded because he didn't like what Christ said. The fact that Peter was bothered to hear that his leader, the one that he had given everything up to follow, the fact that Peter was bothered that they would go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day, the fact that Peter struggled with that, that's not why he was reprimanded. The reason that Peter was reprimanded was because he said, "Christ, that ain't going to happen." And he was thinking naturally, not spiritually. And I'm trying to show us this because I need this as much as anyone could. When God is working his perfect will in our lives, like Peter, I don't have to like it. But I better be willing to see things through the spiritual lens and not just the natural lens of humanity. See, here is my struggle like it would be for anyone else. There's God's perfect plan, and that's what I want to yield to, unless God's perfect plan is different than Kyle's perfect plan. And whenever God's plan is different from my plan, if I'm not careful, you know what my spirit does? It begins to pitch a fit. And I want, listen, you may say, I don't like the sound of this. I'm just being honest with you. I want to then rebuke the Lord because I don't care for what it is he's trying to do in my life at that moment. I want to tell him where he's wrong. I want to tell him where he's out of line. I want to tell him where he's out of place. Somebody says, "You really think that?" Well, not in those exact words, but my spirit is such that I want to tell Christ that that's not the way it's supposed to be, that, Lord, that's not what's supposed to happen. God, you don't understand. This is what I'm wanting to accomplish. You don't understand. This is what I want to do with my life. And the bottom line is this, is it doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't matter what I desire. The only thing that matters is God's perfect plan. And if I am going to not be an offense to him, then I have to think spiritually rather than naturally, regardless of how difficult it may be for my flesh to do. Because see, just like it was possible for Peter, it is possible for me to think spiritually if I want to. If I want, by the grace of God, I can have some maturity, I can have some depth, I can have some spiritual understanding, and I can grasp some things that my flesh would not otherwise grasp. It is difficult, but it can be done. So if I don't want to be an offense, as difficult as it may be, I have to look at it from a spiritual standpoint, not the natural standpoint. And if I refuse to do that, or if you refuse to do that, you know what Christ has every right to say unto us? "Get thee behind me, Satan." There's something I'm going to accomplish. There's something that I'm going to perform. And if you're not willing to yield to that, then you know what you are? You are standing in opposition to what it is I'm trying to accomplish. You are opposing what it is I'm trying to do. And whenever you and I stand in opposition to God's perfect will for our lives, you know what we then become? We become the enemy of God and his plan. I don't know about you, but I've never really thought about that in that way until this week, that if I refuse to view things from a spiritual standpoint and I only choose to view them from a natural standpoint, I then become one who stands in opposition to him. And I become then his enemy and his adversary. I'll just say for myself, I don't want that. I don't want to be the enemy and the adversary of God. I wouldn't want it to be rightfully said to me, "Get thee behind me, Satan, because you are now standing in opposition of everything it is I'm trying to accomplish." So what do I have to do? I've got to step back and say, okay, by the grace of God, I want to view this from his perspective. I want to understand this as best I can from his angle and not just my angle. Not just my perspective, but his perspective. This side of heaven, will I grasp all of it? No way. This side of heaven, will I continue to struggle with it many times? Well, of course I will. But if I want, with his help, I can think differently than what I am naturally inclined to think. And with his help, you're able to think differently than you would naturally be inclined to think. But we have to be willing to put forth the effort. I'm going to ask you something tonight. All you've got to do is answer this, and I trust that you will, as honestly as you can. But I want to ask you, as it relates to God's perfect will for your life, have you found yourself struggling with any of it? Saying, well, I don't like that. I don't want it to be that way. That's not how I envisioned it. If you struggle with that, just know you're allowed to. You don't have to like everything. But we can't afford to get an attitude with God and his will for our lives. What we have to do is be willing to look at it from his perspective. So is there anything in your life right now you might have to say, well, I need to change the way I'm looking at this. I really need to change the way that I've been viewing this because I've only been looking at it through my lens rather than his lens. It's only been from my perspective and not his. Is there any need of a change in thinking? It can be done, and it needs to be done. And without it, we're an offense to him. Hope we'll think about it, because here's what I know. Our perfect little world is going to be disrupted from time to time. I thought y'all might agree with me on that. Our perfect world is going to be disrupted from time to time. And if we don't want to be an offense, we better step back real quick and try to think differently than we would normally be inclined to think. Let's all stand tonight and bow our heads for prayer. Fathers, I come to you this evening. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to see where Peter made that mistake in his interaction with you, where he just failed in that moment to see things from a godly perspective when he really needed to. And God, I pray that you'd help us tonight to be honest about those occasions in our lives when we see things not from your perspective but from ours. We don't grasp it, we don't understand it because we're not even really trying to. We're just so consumed with our own perspective that that's all we can think about. God, I pray that you'd help us to put forth the effort to view things in the way that we ought, so that we would never be an offense or a stumbling block to you and what it is you're trying to accomplish. I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. As Lauren plays, you've got time to pray.